In the late afternoon, the Meadows family rode up on horseback. Lisa ran to meet them.
So glad you came to see us, Jeannie. Get down and meet my crew.
Lisa took Jeannie's young daughter off the horse. Jeannie's handsome husband, a man in his late 20s, handed Chet the boy to hold and smiled as he dismounted.
She talked about you and said you all might still be here, and we decided to ride over. Hope we weren't interrupting anything.
No, we're resting. We found some Spanish treasures and are heading home tomorrow.
Oh, a lot of it?
Chet nodded and gestured to the loaded wagons.
I'll be. Any gold?
Some.
Spanish didn't get that from around here. I have been panning in all the Dry Creeks.
Ever find any rubies?
Were there some of them there too?
Chet showed him some samples of the ones they'd found, taking a few from his pocket. He held them up to the sun.
I never found any of these either.
I don't know where they came from, but they're gem quality.
Where is the place you found them, if I may ask?
None of us plan to go back. It's about 10 miles west over there, but we cleaned out the cave in the face of the bluff. You'll find the bridge we built to cross a deep, dry wash. Then you can find the cave. But don't try to go down to it alone. We found these gems and artifacts in that hole, but we have ranches to run and no time to look for more of them.
I'd love to find the source. And thanks for telling me how to find the area.
They also found some emeralds when they were here. We never found the source of any of them.
Well, what made you look in that cave?
Ask Cole. We let him and Salty down there on ropes. They found it all.
You were real lucky.
We've been looking all over at things. Jesus came to find some original Spanish horses. They call my wife for colts she likes.
Michael!
Cole was swinging the boy around.
We had to see what was down there after we discovered it was a cave.
I'll be more attentive to things after this. Thanks for the tips. Mr. Burns is your boss. How did he get to Arizona?
He told us they ran him out of Texas.
My family got in a feud. They murdered my brother while we were taking a herd to Kansas.
I understand feuds. They're bad deals.
Why are you up here starting a ranch?
Well, I had some money to buy some cattle. We couldn't afford a ranch down south, and this is unsettled country, and I could homestead the land. Jeannie said she was brave enough to try it. My brothers helped me get the herd up here, and they came back and we built the cabin. In 4 or 5 years, we will have cattle to sell.
If you see that it doesn't work, come find me up at Prescott Valley. We could find work for you. We have lots of couples working for us.
Well, wish I'd met you 2 years ago. I'll stick with this plan, but thanks. And I may need to find you, Mr. Burns. Someday.
The couple left to get home by dark. Lisa was on a high. She'd played with their daughter, Sally. Chet knew she wanted a girl of her own to show her how to live her life better than she'd handled her own early on. They set out for Joseph Lake in the morning and made it by evening. Chet and Rory Lincoln, the storekeeper, talked about his business and the Logan Bunch and their threats. Lincoln said he was glad they had no more problems than the one threat. He apologized, too, for not finding Cole the extra wagons and teams they needed, but he did send them to a man in Kanab who had them. Lincoln never asked what they were totting out, and Chet wasn't going to broadcast any information about it. They camped for the night and started for the ferry in the morning. A day and a half later, Mrs. Lee talked to them about ferrying 2 more wagons besides the original 2 ones. Chet merely told her they needed them and let it go. The entire cave treasure was well concealed in each wagon. Lisa's colts, by this time, were broke to lead in a line, and they were another topic of questioning.
Those are her horses. She picked them out. Better ask her.
You're coming back up here to settle?
I don't think so. We have a lot of good range land down there for now. Thanks.
I'll be here if you need to cross back over. Thanks, sir.
I think Mrs. Lee likes you.
That's a shame. I'm taken. Make a list of each man here. I'll pay him half whatever this stuff brings when we get it settled.
8 shares. Then get 50% of the final settlement.
Fine.
They had no trouble at the Little Colorado. But Chet noticed they had many suspicious eyes and back of hands comments on how they went up there with 2 wagons and now had 4. He bet the onlookers really worried about what he'd found up there that was worth dragging home. They would never know until the word got out that they'd found Spanish gold and gemstones and that they'd slipped a fortune past them in those farm wagons.
What's so funny?
Lisa rode close to Chet.
There were several greedy eyes back up there wondering what we found. Why four wagons to go home with?
That is funny. Where will you store it?
The gold bars and the nuggets in the bank. The same with the gems. I want them appraised. Danner at the bank can keep them for us. I know a man in Tucson who collects Spanish antiques. I'll invite him up to look at those.
5 days later, they met Tom and Millie at the Prescott Valley Ranch. Chet made Millie put out her hand when she frowned at the four rigs. He dropped four uncut rubies into her palm.
Oh my goodness! Are they real?
Yes, very real. Also, yours for guarding the house.
I'd say you got top wages.
But they are real, not glass?
The very real thing.
It was all in a cave in the face of a towering cliff over the Grand Canyon?
It was, according to the diary we found. Two died in the cave when no one came back for them. The other committed suicide.
I wonder why they didn't come back for them and the gold.
I figure an Indian bunch wiped them out somewhere up there. So they never got back to get the live ones or the treasure out of there.
Hell of a deal. And it happened in the 1700s?
Yes, a long time ago. I never went over the cliff. Your man Salty and Cole went over on ropes and loaded the things, and we pulled them up. It made a great hideout, but also a death trap for the ones left there when they did not come back for them.
Where'd they get the rubies?
Somewhere up there, I imagine there's maybe a caved-in mine. A prospector may someday trail the mine up. But we never saw any gems laying around any source on the ground. We didn't do much gold panning. There simply was not that much looking around time, and let me tell you, I don't think you could walk all over that entire portion of Arizona in a lifetime. It's a dry land with few rivers or streams. They tell me the emeralds we brought back came from a different vein than the rubies. The Spaniards found gold, rubies, and emeralds up there. We found skeletons, metal uniforms, old guns, books, and letters. There's some band of outlaws, at least one, maybe, who run roughshod over the citizens up there. They need to be removed, but that's a job for the territorial law to handle, not the ranch folks.
Were there any pure Spanish horses?
Not that I observed. Those colts are Lisa's, and she'll decide their fate. I made a deal with the men that went along with me. I'll share half the treasure profits with them. I have no plans to own our ranch on the north side of the Grand Canyon. This ranch looks wonderful, and a better sight to be at than the whole north part of Arizona above the Grand Canyon.
Hear, hear.
The alarm bell in the ranch center was ringing. Chet sat straight up in bed. It was still night dark outside. Something bad had happened.
What's wrong?
Oh, Mr. Burns, they've stolen several horses over at our ranch tonight. Hampt has his arm broken. He tried to stop him. Lewis told me to come get you and more men.
I'm coming down. Vance, send word to Jesus and Cole for them to come at once. And you?
My name is Hal, sir.
Didn't recognize you in the dark. Hal, come to the back door. My wife and I will be down there when we dress. I want to hear the whole story.
Yes, sir.
Busy dressing in the lighted bedroom by the bedside lamp, Lisa shook her head.
Oh, you aren't home 10 minutes and all hell breaks loose.
Glad I'm here.
Oh, I'm not complaining. Where would they go with the stolen horses?
I'd say south. Not much market anywhere else.
Just be careful, all right?
I intend to be that. Sorry, this will be too tough for you to go along.
I understand, and I really appreciate the trip north. What shall I do about all this treasure business?
If it sounds like a good offer, I'll accept it.
No, I have no idea about the value. It can wait until you return.
Fine. Tanner at the bank knows the gold's value. Have him sell it.
I will do that, then.
I thank you for that.
Hal waited at the bottom of the stairs.
These girls let me in.
Fine. Tell me the story from the start.
I was asleep in the bunkhouse when the dogs went to raising hell. Earlier, we had a big welcome for Hampt getting back from your trip. I jumped out of bed, put on my boots, and grabbed my gun before going out the door. But the horses they drove already gone by the bunkhouse door.
What happened next?
One of the rustlers whirled his horse around to come back to help a rustler that Hamt had a hold of. I guess he ran out of the house, caught this last one, and jerked him off his horse. The outlaw who rode back crashed his horse into Hamt. That sent him and the one he had a hold of down on the ground and broke Hamt's arm in the wreck. The rider shot at Hamt, but the horse he rode was all upset, so he missed. The rustler that Hamt had a hold of jumped on the other one's horse behind him, and they skedaddled. I shot at them, but in the dark you can't hit anything except by luck.
How many horses did they get?
Last count I heard was 24. May sent me to get you. Walt Stroud and two others were going after them when they found horses to ride. I caught this old horse and rode as fast as I could over here.
How's Hamt?
Hell, sorry, ladies. He was ready to go after them, broken arm and all.
Chet knew Hamt would be upset. He hoped May could hold him, till they got the arm set anyway.
These were the horses that Hamp's stepson broke for him?
Oh, yes, sir. They were the best horses to steal.
Damn them.
The house girls and Lisa fixed them breakfast. Vance, the ranch foreman, came to the house to report.
I sent for Jesus and Cole, and I got men loading the pack horses with supplies. You need a horse wrangler to keep up with them.
Wow. Oh, you girls are fattening me.
Eat up. There will not be any kitchens where you'll be camping.
Yes, ma'am. Vance, to come back to your question, yes, a good man like Vic wouldn't hurt to have along. And another man to manage the horses.
Vic will be proud to serve.
He'd be good.
Pick that boy who went north with us. He's up here. His name was Eldon Grimes.
Yes, ma'am. Vance, sit and eat. Cole and Jesus will be a while.
It's a shame that Salty isn't up here.
By the time he got up here, we'd be long gone.
I can send a word to him. He'd be up here in 4 hours and grab a fresh horse here. He'd catch you pretty quick on the trail.
There won't be anyone to look after things if we all go. Send word for him to help you while we're gone. We're taking some of your men as it is.
Cole arrived in a buckboard with Valerie and Chet's son Rocky, who ran to his father.
Is Hamt all right?
We think so. How are you two?
Fine. But how bad off is Hamt?
I figure by now he's on his way to Prescott to have the bone set. And mad as hell about the whole thing.
You have many details?
Hamp got hold of one of them and jerked him off his horse. Another rustler came back and that guy ran over them with his horse in the wreck. They say Hamp broke his arm and the second one got on and rode off with the other rustler.
Boy, if Hamp had got hold of him, he'd have pumped the information about who they were out of that outlaw.
Have some breakfast. Rocky, are you all right?
I'm fine. I like Hamt. I hope he gets all right.
So do I. You need to see Lisa's new horse we brought home with us.
I'll be sure to look at him.
How long before Jesus gets here?
Maybe an hour. Vance is sending Vic and the horse wrangler Billy Bob who went up to the North Rim.
That's good. Any idea who the rustlers are?
No. But they must be well organized to slip in and take only the good horses.
Didn't horse rustlers take some valuable horses from this ranch before you married Marge?
My first wife, yes. They went through Bloody Basin and some damn rough country.
They ambushed the ranch's foreman and his man?
I made Raphael stay with the bonnies and rode off after them. Our deal was for Raphael to come after me when they got there.
That old man never forgot the sheriff's deputy. When he got there, he wouldn't let him go on and help you.
He always told me that.
Jesus arrived by buckboard about the time daylight lightened the eastern sky. He handed over a bedroll and war bag with a rifle.
How is Hamt?
I imagine he's had his arm set by now.
I hope he's all right. The boy said they stole those good horses that May's son broke for him.
I'd say they had a spy over there, or someone knew those horses were broke and ready for when they got there. It was well planned.
They're going to Bloody Basin this time?
Most rustlers use that route. Is your wife all right?
She's fine.
Thanks for answering my call. Cole's here and the two ranchmen are going along. Vic and the horse wrangler, Billy Bob, who we used on the North Rim.
Good. I will be ready shortly. I want to check on the supplies they have loaded.
Fine. We are also taking along a few extra horses.
Good. It is a wonder Hamt is alive.
I thought the same thing.
How many head taken?
No one had a count on how many got away. He originally bought 20 head. We'd hoped to start out with some real good horses for him to have for Roundup next spring. Mount up!
Chet took the reins to the stout roan mountain horse they called Gillicardy and swung into the saddle.
I'll be back.
You better, or I'll haunt you to hell.
I believe you'd do that.
Wear chaps in the brush. It'll save you needles in your legs.
I promise. I get down there, I'll wear them. Love you.
She shook her head, her lashes wet. Parting was hard on him, too.
How far will we get today?
We should take the turn off the Bloody Basin by sundown.
They have half a day start on us?
Unless they pour it on hard today.
Well, all right. Thanks for inviting me.
Before sundown, they located water off the Black Canyon Road at the Bloody Basin cutoff. There was no doubt in Chet's mind the rustlers had gone into the wilderness with the stolen horses. It was a long ways to any civilization crossing this way, and there were not many folks to say they'd rode by. He wondered what their plans were to sell the horses, and where. They were up before sunup, so that when pink lighted the eastern sky, the fires for breakfast were flaming. They began loading the pack horses and saddling the riding ones. Bedrolls were tied on behind cantles, and the men came into camp to sip two hot coffee and fill their plates with cooked food out of iron kettles. Everything packed, they set out. No doubt the fresh shod ranch horses were going ahead of them. Chet rode up on some rises to see if there was any dust boiling up. Nothing. They reached a long abandoned ranch to water the herd and could see that the rustlers had been there earlier in this densely crowded juniper brush clad rolling country. At noon, they took a short break and ate some leftover breakfast.
We'll find some water mid-afternoon and ought to consider camping there. Next water I know about's the Verde River, and that's another day's drive.
How far away are we from where they were hung? Those two killers of the ranch foreman.
I'd say we're 4 to 5 hours from Verde now. That lynching was at Rye, and it's way the hell over there.
Will they go there?
Best horse market in Tombstone.
You think they'll go there?
I have no idea, but there's money there, and horses come high-priced.
Who hung them killers, Mr. Burns?
A man who followed the bloody trail close behind him.
You did?
Those men had murdered both the Prescott Valley Ranch foreman and his number one man. They raped two women as well. I trailed the killers down here, and then way over to Rye and decided the world didn't need them any longer. Today, I dragged them back to be hung. Law is better than that. But then I didn't. We have 4 hours of sunlight left. Let's take fresh horses and ride like hell and maybe catch this bunch.
The three of us. Two of us already think we are really close to them from the signs of things.
The rest of our crew and the pack horses can come on in the morning if we don't catch them.
I'm game. Listen up, guys. Saddle us the toughest fresh horses we have. The boss man, Jesus, and I are making a hard rush this afternoon to catch these thieves, and if we don't, so what? You all come in the morning and bring the pack horses.
Cole took the lead, and they had wasted no time going from hill to the next hill on the faded wagon track through the dry washes and up the other side. Hooves drumming, saddle leather creaking, the determined threesome crossed lots of country. Coming off a long grade, Chet stopped them and dug out his field glasses after he saw what he thought looked like the flash of a dark bay horse farther down the mountain. Glasses to his eyes, he adjusted them, and he saw another horse through the openings.
They're half a mile downhill from here. Have a look, Cole.
Do you think they've heard us?
Not herding their own horses.
Yes, it's them. Range horses don't shine like those horses do.
How do we sneak up on them, then?
Keep moving. We have some time till sundown. I think they plan to stop at the Verde.
Good.
They trotted their mounts from there on. All they could hope for was that the rustlers didn't see them coming. But either way, they'd soon be in range of them. Chet began to grow more confident they were about to recover the stolen horses. He saw the rustlers again on the wide, sandy beach, watering men and horses. He slipped his Winchester out of the scabbard. The three of them were nearly under the ancient, gnarled cottonwoods that lined the river. He motioned for his own armed men to spread out. At that point, the rustlers had only sidearms. Their rifles were in the saddle scabbards.
Look!
Chet took aim, and the man never reached but 6 inches for his Colt when the rifle slug sent him sprawling on his back. The report spooked all the horses, and they stampeded into the rustlers trying to get their guns out. Their resistance lasted only minutes. Off their horses and taking charge, Jesus and Cole were busy disarming the rustlers and making them get face down in the sand. None of them offered any resistance, but they cussed a lot. The last man standing wore a black business suit.
"No, sir. No way am I lying down in that mud."
Cole busted him over the head with his pistol.
"Looks like I found a way."
Satisfied the fight was over, Jesus went to his horse for some rope to tie them up with. Chet, gun in his fist, waded over to Cole.
"Who's the preacher you knocked out?"
"Damned if I know. Jesus, who is he?"
A downed, wounded rustler answered him from the sand and mud.
Dean Luray."
"Never heard of him. You're all under arrest for horse stealing, attempted murder, and I'll find me some charges up in Prescott to keep you in jail for a long time."
The two wounded men were carried to the shade. One was going to die from a bullet in the chest. The other was shot in the arm, but a tourniquet had stopped the bleeding. The rest had their hands tied behind their backs. They'd been disarmed and searched. The rustlers, save for Luray, had little money on them. He had over $500 on him. Chet had Jesus make a list in his herd book of the names they gave him. Horses were rounded up and a few hobbled to keep them close and grazing as the sun set. But before it went down, two of the lesser prisoners stacked up driftwood for the night's campfire. Jesus had found some frijoles on one of their pack horses, boiled some, and served them as supper. The worst wounded one died, and they rolled him in a blanket to bury at dawn. The guard shift was chosen, and each man had a few hours by Big Dipper time to oversee them. Cowboys didn't invent keeping time on the Big Dipper, but Chet knew anyone who ever drove cattle herds to Kansas could use it. The rest of Chet's crew must have gotten up early and pushed hard to join them. They were smiling when they rode up the Verde Bottoms with the pack train and nodded in approval at the tied-up outlaws.
"You get them all?"
"Every damn one we could find. Get some coffee out. These cheap bastards didn't have any."
5 days later, Chet had driven into Prescott to talk to Tanner at the bank. He left Lisa off at the dress store and parked his rig out in front of the bank. His men, on their arrival back, had the rustlers put in jail. Cole and Jesus handled the booking, and the sheriff never sent word to Chet he was pleased or unpleased about their efforts. When Chet walked in the lobby of the bank that morning, two ranchers leaving shook his hand.
"Thank you, Chet. Well done."
"Thank you, Chet. Oh, we sure appreciate you."
"Thank you, Dance."
Standing at Tanner's desk, he saw the Miner newspaper headline read, "Area Rancher Rounds Up the Horse Rustlers." He bet the editor had asked, why couldn't the Yavapai County Sheriff have done the same?
"Morning, Tanner. How's banking going?"
"Good enough. The gem buyer wants to examine them. He will pay freight one way and look at them. He doesn't want them, then you pay the return freight."
"How much will it cost?"
"Oh, $500 by Wells Fargo."
"Tell him if he takes them, the bidding starts at over $100,000.
"I doubt he'd pay that for them, but I will do as you say. He wants the emeralds and says he will pay you $50,000 if they're that good."
"If he wants them and the rubies, the bidding on both of them starts at $250,000.
"I'll wire him, but I doubt he will pay that."
"Then he won't buy them. Have you sold the gold?"
"The gold bars gave you $220,000. The loose gold is being smelted and may amount to more than that."
"My cowboys may quit me after I pay them their 50%.
"How many hands were with you?"
8 men will share in half of the total."
"You get your prices, they could earn $50,000 to $60,000 apiece. That's a lot of money to give out."
"They could have gotten killed by some bad men while up there, and possibly ended up being eaten by buzzards."
"I understand. It's a hell of a lot of money. I understand by gossip, 3 of those rustlers that your men brought in have bounties on their heads."
"Good. I'll split that with the men if it ever gets paid."
"That's Wells Fargo rewards. You will be paid that money."
"Anything else comes up, holler."
"Any more offers on the other things you found?"
"Some rich guy is coming from Mexico. He wants to buy that armor, the swords, and the books."
"Oh, what are they worth?"
"Lots. Your wife and baby's doing good?"
"Oh, Wonderful.
Tanner stood a little straighter and beamed at being asked. A man who waits till he's 40-some years old to get married to a much younger woman and has 2 kids and 2 years out of his bride should stand tall. But Chet still didn't trust her.
I better go get mine. She may be tired of trying on outfits.
He left the bank whistling and drove around to the dress store. Lisa waved to him and quickly came outside.
Any details on the value?
Tanner says $500,000 in gold when the free gold gets smelted.
My heavens. What are the gems worth?
Maybe $250,000 or more.
Oh, you need to take more vacations.
Like that I do.
Could I give my colts to your sons? I'm not a horse breaker.
They'd both probably love them.
Good. I will do that.
She leaned across the buckboard to kiss his cheek.
Mwah. Thanks.
Things held good the next few weeks. The precious stone buyer bid him $350,000 for both lots. He told Tanner to take it. Smelting was not completed on the raw gold, so that waited on them. Word was out a fortune was coming to some of his ranch hands, and those on the list met in the big house living room.
Don't spend a dime of your money until you know what you want to do besides take siestas. You'll have more friends and relatives who want to borrow money, and in truth, they'll never pay you back. Personally, I don't care, but the sum of money is not endless. You can blow it all on wild women and alcohol in a year, or you can park it in a bank and only use it when out of work or to buy a place of your own. Remember, folks can skin you out of your money and you'd not get any land. Hire a lawyer, a banker, to do the job for you.
The man shook his hand and left, except for Jesus and Cole.
Think they'll listen to me?
Not good enough they won't. They have no education and no idea what it's like to have that much money.
When I was a boy in Mexico, I saw a man who prospected in the mountains. If he found some gold, he hurried to town and spent it immediately on putas, wine, and fancy clothes. Soon, he was broke, hungover, and those whores wanted no part of him. I asked him why he never learned his lesson and kept some back. He said, Jesus, you do not understand. The only reason I go prospecting is so I can afford to live with him for a short while like a wild man. I love to do that. And for them to snub their noses at me sends me back to find more.
What a racket! What's so funny?
I'll tell you later. I warn the men how they must manage the money they'll receive.
I can tell you right now that they will all, maybe a few won't, but most will blow it, and fast. That rich rancher's son who hauled me to Colorado, his father sent him $500 so he would have the money to escape on. He blew that in 4 hours gambling in a saloon. Ooh, most men are stupid, and you three are excused, but my brother sold a racehorse when I was 12. He was older than me by several years. He got $1,000 for him and came home that night dead broke after promising to pay our grocery bill. That is what most men do with money. Blow it away as quick as they can.
I hope not.
They can't help themselves. It must be in their bloodstream. The girls are counting supper plates. Are either you staying for supper?
I can't. I promised my wife I'd be back by then.
I'm like Cole. I better eat there. Tell them thanks for us.
They're very good girls. Work hard and always feed anyone loose around the place who needs food.
Chet walked them to the back door.
Take tomorrow off. We're caught up. That prosecuting attorney never asked for any evidence on the horse stealing?
We brought in 6 of them. 4 were wanted elsewhere. He must be shipping them to Texas and Colorado where the crime is murder. Then he saves the court costs on 4. Bet he's scratching to find a place to ship the last 2 out of this county and slam them in someone else's jail so he'll save himself the work and court costs.
If they get free from those charges, they can go free and steal more horses. Does anyone on the miner know about his scheme?
Yeah, damned if I know. Let's go talk to Bo tomorrow and let him put the bug in some folks' ears.
Right. I'll have the horses hitched for when you get here tomorrow. Jesus, we can handle it if you have work you need done.
We rode our asses off to capture them, and letting them loose will not curb their rustling. Pick me up at my house.
Amen. See you too then.
I heard most of that and could not believe my ears.
Lots of folks need to learn that.
In the morning, they took the buckboard to town and parked in front of Bo's office. He met them at the door, smiling big.
So, what brings the three soldiers to my door?
Those horse thieves we arrested.
Yeah? What about them?
The county prosecutor isn't going to try them if he can help it. Instead, he's having the other law agencies that want them take them off his hands. But when they get wherever they came from and are found not guilty, they get off scot-free.
He's lazy, but I can get that changed.
Good. That's all we needed.
Man, you three are easy to please. Now, tell me, who all gets money out of the North Rim business?
I get half.
Good. Who gets the rest?
Cole and Jesus, plus six other guys who went up there with us.
Well, gentlemen, shall I present some land deals for you two? I already have his business.
Chet winked at them.
Talk is they will get $50,000 each?
More than that.
More than that? How much are the rusty old suits of armor worth, anyway?
There was a water pail full of uncut rubies, another half pail of raw emeralds, plus 40 bars of gold, and that much more gold dust.
Damn, you guys really did find the Spanish gold.
Yes, they did.
What will those others do with their share?
Lisa says most will go get drunk and spend their money on some loose morals women.
Man, oh man. I had less money than that and stayed drunk all the time. Phew, I'm glad that's over for me.
It better be. But I'll have no control after I pay them.
Any of them want ranches?
You can come out and talk to them.
I could find them some great small ranches.
When do you want to come out?
I'll send word. I'm going to the courthouse and straighten out this rustler deal for you. I'll have an answer by morning. Those judges we have are all federal, and they won't let him do that.
We're going to have lunch at the Palace Bar. I'm buying. You want to join us?
No, I told my wife I'd pick up some things for her at noontime.
Tell her we said howdy.
They drove downtown after leaving Bo's office.
Bo has bought you lots of land, hasn't he?
It all turned out pretty good. The folks on him had all got deeds, but there was no way to make a living out there. He bought them cheap enough. They're all going to be fenced this winter, and we'll cut more hay off of next year. Toby and his wife and the Mexican help can put up more hay than anyone I know. But he's up to nearly a dozen mowing machines, rakes, beaver boards, and twice that many teams of horses. They break Mustangs in the winter and use them for teams. He has hay stacked all over that county on the rim, and he sells lots of it off the homesteads that Bo bought cheap.
We brought that wife of his, Tally, back too. And your wife, Elizabeth, said she'd grow up. I doubted it. I know she works harder than he does now. They are a pair I couldn't believe ever would make it running a ranch.
They damn sure do it. I appreciate all my help, guys. But those two are damn sure in need of getting after it.
If Bo gets this straightened, what do we need to do up here?
I should go see Toby and Tally. Then go over east and see the wagon wheel.
I can go with you starting next week.
Jesus?
I will be ready then too.
I don't know Lisa's plans, but she may ride along.
The matter was settled over lunch in the Palace Bar. On Thursday, Bo came out to the ranch, and he met with Cole and Valerie, Jesus and Anita, plus Hampton and May in Lisa's living room.
You folks getting this money, I want to tell you I have several ranches for sale if you're interested.
Bo, May and I have a new family. These two babies will need a place somewhere. We helped her sons get into what they wanted to do, and we'll do the same for them.
Sure, I understand.
I don't need another ranch right now. One is enough.
I am plenty pleased to be back in the foreman business here. Val and I will bank our money, too.
Thanks. All of you know who I am and what I do. Anytime I can help, call on me.
We can go to the Verde Ranch tomorrow, if you can come, Bo.
Thanks. I'll be here in the morning. Lisa, you may be wrong about half of them.
You haven't heard from them all. Rocky, did you tell your dad I wanted to give you two colts that we brought down from the North Rim?
Yes, he did. Thank you. I hope they make good horses.
They will. They're real Mustangs.
Rocky smiled at his stepmother.
Hear that?
Valerie nodded and then shook her head at him.
Well, I still say they'll kick you, but as long as you're looking to get kicked.
The next morning, Chet sat reading the report given to him by Bo when he arrived at the ranch. Lisa poured him coffee as he read.
Dear Chet, Two of the rustlers have already been removed from Prescott by officials from other law agencies, but officials will prosecute the remaining four. You were right. They wanted to save court costs and had not considered another court might find them not guilty, and they would get off scot-free.
What does it say?
The four left will stand trial. Beau said the prosecutor admitted the original plan was to save the county court expenses.
You have to watch everything, don't you?
Yes, I don't think the prosecutor wanted them loose. He figured how they'd save the cost of more trials, and the rustlers would still be behind bars elsewhere.
What are you going to do next?
Take Beau to the Verde Ranch today. He wants to talk to those others who are receiving money.
He wanted you to know the trials are being taken care of.
Beau and I are close. He's considerate.
You hired some tough guys to guard him night and day, to make him quit drinking, they told me.
I had to. He'd sell something and go get drunk for a week. You couldn't count on him, but he was good at selling and buying land. He was married, but the gal died. That's why he drank.
I knew Shelley was his second wife.
She was a widow with money who moved here after she lost her husband. By then, he was respectable enough to marry.
And she never was pregnant with husband number one, was she?
No, but she's had two since marrying Beau.
Maybe that'll happen to me.
Quit worrying. We do all we can.
I know, but that doesn't make it easier.
Hey, get dressed and come along with me. You love to visit with Millie.
Thanks. I will do that. Who else is going?
Cole and Jesus.
I'll be ready.
She rushed off to change as one of her house girls approached to clear the breakfast dishes.
Senor, you want more coffee?
No. Thanks anyway, Aleta.
May I ask a question, senor?
Certainly. What is it?
Is there an hombre named Salty down there where you go today?
Yes.
Would you see if his foot is broken?
Sure. But I'm sure he's sound, or I would have heard about it.
She looked around like she wanted no one to hear.
He promised he'd come back and see me.
I see. You want me to remind him?
Oh, no. If he don't want to, I sure don't want to see him either.
Can I say Oleta sends her blessings?
Only if he still wears my cross. It has some black stones and a cross on it. If he wears it, he still remembers me.
I'll check.
Gracias, patron.
No, ma'am. I'm Chet, not patron.
Excuse me. You know that Julie and I are very proud to work here. Your wife is so generous to both of us, more like a mother than a boss. We grew up here on this ranch, and this has been a fine place to live. But when she became head of the house, she brought us both inside because we helped her with schooling the children. Now we run it for her, and we appreciate you and her confidence in us.
Julie joined her from the kitchen, nodding her head.
Chet, we will get your name right. We really appreciate all you do for the people of this ranch.
It is a wonderful ranch because of the people who work here and how they all pitch in.
Beau soon joined them for breakfast. Lisa rode horseback with the four men to Tom's house at the base of the mountain. They teased her about things and she laughed most of the way down the steep grade to the base. Chet told them about his sister, who ran the household back then at the start, and how May's two boys growing up caught fish out of the Verde River for Sis to cook. And when they took her the huge carp, she threw it out.
Why, those two about disowned her over doing that.
I heard you fed the Indians down here, too.
They had a sorry Indian agent when we first came to the area. I fed the Indians, and he got mad and threatened me. I went and saw General Crook at the fort up here, and he got that straight. Why, those people and their children had no food. Some big officials came down from Washington, D.C. after General Crook spoke to them, and when they saw the mess, they removed that agent.
Yesterday, I was glad to see Hamp's arm was nearly healed.
Yes, he's fine. Hated he didn't get in with the chase we had getting those rustlers rounded up.
I'd pick him anytime to be on my team. That big guy is tough when you make him mad.
Bo, you've missed out on lots of great adventures the three of us have had together.
Now, I would not have gone off on that rope to get inside that cave, dangling thousands of feet over rock piles below. But I'd damn sure like to have been on the receiving end of the final count. Maybe had me some of that armor.
It was one hell of a find.
I'd say so. I think we told you we never found anything else up there.
No sign of the mine that gave them the rubies?
Beau looked at the men for an answer. They all shook their heads.
Now, we never even saw a speck of those rubies anywhere we went. Not any color in the creeks. That place holds its secrets tight.
How did those Spaniards find them?
Hell, Bo, you couldn't see all the country that's inside the boundaries of that strip in over a lifetime. There were no maps to show where they got it in those books, either. Isolated and dry.
Salty greeted them when they arrived down there. Chet recalled the girl's words, "If he still wears my cross." The stones were black, and he could see that Salty wore something around his neck, inside of his shirt.
Oh, yes. Oleta said to say hi to you.
Salty grinned big.
Tell her I'm coming in a few days. Tom has had lots of work for me down here.
Maybe Lisa should send her down here.
No, then I would get nothing done.
The meeting with Bo and the five recipients was held in Tom's living room. Bo introduced himself and explained that they were going to soon have lots of money, and the danger of losing it loomed over them.
Don't make loans to friends. You will never get it back. We now know it will be over $50,000 for each of your shares.
Wow.
Land swindlers are all over. Only buy land with a clear title. Do it with an honest broker or a banker you can trust handling the paperwork. Don't drink it up. Don't spend it on wild women. I'd like to talk to any of you interested in buying a place of your own.
I don't want a ranch of my own yet.
That was Tad Newman, Tom's cook.
If I can stay here and work the roundup cooking, I'll be fine. Tom said Mr. Tanner at the bank would treat me fair, and maybe someday I'll go back to Sonora and ranch there.
Good thinking. You can have the place as long as you like.
Eddie Main, the cook's helper, raised his hand next.
My grandmother lives near Nogales. She needs a windmill to pump a storage tank full so she doesn't have to pull up buckets. Nana raised me, so could one of you help me get that done?
Eddie, we can find some honest folks to do that down there and have her running water in her house even.
I sure appreciate that.
Billy Bob, what about you?
I've been thinking. My mom and dad ain't got a tombstone back in Decatur, Texas. Would y'all help me get one up?
Yeah, we can help you and get that done. Nice thought on your part. Salty, what have you thought about?
You know. I bet Chet knows too. I'd like permission to build a house on either place if some gal says yes for us to live in it together. You can have it when I leave. I hope that isn't soon.
I bet she'd want to live up at Prescott Valley.
Probably. Don't tell her. I want to shock her so she can't say no. But would that work?
Salty, Tom and I would approve it at either ranch.
On top?
Either place. Let us know.
I'll sure do that.
They rode back from the Verde to the Valley Ranch. Bo thanked them and rode on to town. In the kitchen, Lisa caught up to Alita.
He's wearing it, and said when he got caught up on his work to tell you he would come to see you.
The girl blushed.
We should have taught him how to ride, like we did the children.
He can't ride?
I don't think so.
They both looked at Chet.
Something else you must teach him, then.
I can do that.
Good. He's in your hands. He can break horses up here if you like.
If you promise not to tell him I told you about his not riding.
I won't say a word.
I'm so grateful.
Soon after that, Salty moved to the upper ranch with the ranch's unbroken 2-year-old colts. The foreman, Vance, gave him 2 large teenage boys who were tickled to death to help him. They came off weeding and watering the large patch of frijoles they raised that fed every ranch member. Chet figured they may have been even happier than Alita was over the move. He knew that those boys would work harder at their new jobs. Late in the week, he and Lisa went into Prescott to check on things, get the mail, and for Lisa to get some dress material for what she called pending. The weather was still nice, but the days had gotten shorter and fall was coming. The couple, Betty and Leroy Sipes, up at Oak Creek Canyon with the orchard, berries, and summer garden, had brought by several bushels of apples for the last time that year and said they had them all picked. Chet went by the mercantile and talked to his friend, Ben Ivory. Ben rose from behind the desk. They shook hands, and then he shook his head.
I have 3 of your mowers for next year in Fort Worth. 3 are in El Paso, and 6 they ship to Iowa.
Well, we have all winter to round them up.
They must not have maps. Where do they think Prescott is next to?
I have no idea, but I may need to up the number by another half dozen.
How much hay do you have to cut?
When Bo bought all those homesteads, they were cleared of sagebrush and grew tall grass when people quit farming them. My men fenced them to keep the range cows out, and now I have hay farms all over the North County.
How many have you got?
Those farms? I think maybe 30 of them.
160 times 30 is 4,800 acres.
We have lots of hay to mow. Shane and his bunch cut lots of hay over at Hackberry. The Verity Ranch must have a few hundred acres. Toby had all those old homesteads, and his own fenced land became hay fields. Spencer had maybe three sections. Sarge gets his hay from Toby. They have to haul hay up to the sawmill for the timber hauling horses and mules. And Hemp makes lots of good hay. Most of his is alfalfa.
Makes me the biggest mower salesman in the West. Well, Catherine sends you her best. She never got over you bringing her down here from Utah. She claims you saved her life. And she sure made a great wife for me.
It all ended good.
Late in the afternoon, he picked up Lisa and her purchases, and with those loaded in the buckboard, he set the team in a trot for home. It had clouded out some during the afternoon. As they were coming through some woods, three armed riders busted out of the thin pine cover. Chet handed Lisa the reins and reached for the Winchester rifle in the scabbard on the buckboard's dashboard.
They're shooting at us. Get us the hell out of here.
He levered in a cartridge and knew with the rough ride of the buckboard, he'd be lucky to hit any of the three. They struggled to hook his right arm over the seat back to steady the long gun. The rough ride made his taking aim through the sights a real chore. If nothing else, maybe he'd stop them if he hit one.
What do they want?
I have no idea. Maybe they want us dead.
Chet knew his shots were worthless attempts.
Make them go faster, Lisa. Head for the Black Canyon stage office. The next dip in the road. They may help defend us.
I've got it.
Over the swaying buckboard bench seat, he fired the rifle again and again back at their attackers, but it was only in defense. Hitting anyone or anything would have been by sheer luck.
The stage people are coming out, Chet, and they're armed.
Keep going. Get to the stage building. Those outlaws have reined up and we need more cover and distance from them.
Mr. Burns, what did they want with you two?
Ed Sampson, the stage line manager, watched with wide eyes as Chet helped Lisa down from her seat. Still upset by the attack, Chet couldn't see any sign of them.
Damned if I know.
Where are your guards at?
He shook his head and jumped down to hug his upset wife.
We didn't need them until a while back.
Didn't anyone recognize who they were?
Not a one. My men are gonna saddle horses and see you two get home. You are too good a customer of our stage line to let you go home unprotected.
Only up to Jesus Martinez's ranch. We'll get us home. Thanks.
You ever see them bandits before?
No, and I didn't see them well enough to recognize them, bouncing around and shooting at them the way I was.
He kissed his wife's forehead.
Thank God. You're all right?
I'm fine. I'm mad they chased us here, but grateful these men were here. Thanks.
They must have been desperate for money. They damn sure picked on the wrong guy getting after you.
I'll find out who they were one day and make them wish they never tried that trick on us.
Here come a man on horseback. Joey, he just needs guards to Jesus' place.
Whatever you need. Mr. Burns, you didn't know them?
No. They were wearing masks, and they were too far back when she went to driving those horses to see him clear enough. Except they sure did want us. Ed, thank you. You ever need a favor, come get me.
You all be more careful. We need your business.
When they got to Jesus' place, he came out on the porch to greet them. Chet thanked the stage company workers, offered them money that they declined, and they headed back. Jesus' wife, Anita, holding the baby in her arms, came out to talk to Lisa.
Why were those men riding with you?
Some outlaws got after us after we left town and chased us to the stagecoach office.
Huh?
I'm not kidding. Three masked men busted out of the woods shooting at us. She drove and I emptied the Winchester at them. Samson and those two men rushed out and ran them off.
You shoot any of them?
Going down that rough road at least 40 miles an hour? Not likely.
No idea who they were?
They were masked and too far back.
I'll get my gun and ride home with you. What did you promise us?
I'd never go alone again.
Good. Promise us again.
I do.
Jesus, we just ran into town and we're on our way home.
Lisa, you two need protection. There are too many outlaws still running all over.
Yes, sir.